Welcome to a different type of show with like-minded individuals that don't always see eye to eye.
Do you understand the words that are coming out from my mouth?
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
Free thinkers that stray away from the herd.
Drink the booze. Drink the booze.
Real topics, real discussions with real opinions.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
We might make you laugh. We might blow your mind. To some, this is groundbreaking. But to us, it's just another combo.
Well, hang on. We shouldn't be learning how not to get caught. We have to take responsibility for our actions.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, High C. And you know what today is. Not only is it Sunday fun day, it is time for just another conversation. We are live today from the cabin. Shout out to Poor Decisions. Shout out to Bamboozers. Shout out to Road Dog Coffee. I'm stuttering today, but it's all good.
Roof, roof.
Road Dog Joe Coffee. Make sure y'all go check that out. RoadDogJoeCoffee.com.
Is that like the guy from the Green Mile?
I don't know.
No. I'm sorry. Nope. My bad. Carry on. That's John Coffee. Spelled like the drink, only not spelled the same.
And last but not least, shout out to the homie Neil over at Andrew's Glass Services, another one of our sponsors who I'll actually be going to a sneaker show next week with. So looking forward to that.
A sneaker show.
We're all sneakerheads. They have like sneaker conventions.
Stop it.
He has some shoes that he wants to trade, and he asked if I'd ride with him. So I said, yeah.
Is he doing the whole like Donald Trump shoes? Is that what he's doing?
No. I think he has like some Jordans or something along those lines that he wants to go ahead and try to trade and get some different shoes.
Hmm. Fair enough, I suppose. So we did have a show a couple weeks ago. It was good.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It was good. I appreciate you coming out. Lord only knows nobody else's ass did.
Eddie was there.
I wouldn't know. He didn't say hi to nobody.
No, he was definitely there. He was there with his girl.
Come on. He don't like women.
He does.
Does he?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
He was there. He was hanging out, having a good time. For those of you who have not caught a Funky Bones show yet, you guys are slacking, to say the least, because it's definitely a fun situation.
Oh, I agree.
The vibe there is just, it's, all right, I'm just going to throw this out there. Rewind.
All right.
Don't be scared or confused. Call Gary if you have to. Just because the sign out front says Joyland is definitely not a country show.
And it's definitely not a strip club.
So I know you're used to our boy Johnny being in the home of fatherless women.
That's a throwback.
He may have been in places once upon a time where daddy issues were of the norm.
Okay, well, don't get it twisted, okay? Just because I do what I do at Joyland, that doesn't mean that there's still not daddy issues running around there. Well, it's still prevalent. It's still a real ass
thing. If you a
thing.
Dude and you got mommy issues and you want some cougar action.
Well, I mean, Funky Thursday night's Bones, not the way to do it.
No, but Funky Bones show is definitely the way to go because, boy, were the cougars on the prowl. And I'm not even going to cap. There was some, as the young people say,
no capping.
There were some little cuties running around there.
Let it be known that the Funky Bones don't draw out the muskrats. They don't draw out the swamp donkeys. We only bring out the creme de la creme of the cougar population. I'm okay with all of that. Now, Thursday night's another ball game. Okay, that I can't help the degeneracy that comes through that damn door. But on Funky Bones night, we there.
But honestly, I did see a good little amount of, I would say, like late 20s, mid 30s there too.
Oh, okay.
So there was a mixed crowd, but there was like some throwback, like player from the Himalayas up in there with the little slick hats doing a little dance with the chicks and stuff. They was getting down. I seen some dudes getting down, like some older dudes, like that dude's my spirit animal right there. I want to dance. I want to dance with all the ladies like that when I get older. Like no fucks that, given.
Did you go out there and dance?
I did not dance. I'm not a dancer.
How about Eddie? Did Eduardo go out there?
I don't think he. I don't know. If we really dancers. I wasn't that drunk yet. I had to drive.
I know. I had my home crew from a fly dance team. They come to a lot of stuff. Those are some cool ass people right there. I'll give them that one.
There was this one dude that was out there that kind of had like the frat boy vibe going on.
It's a lot of them.
He had like some board shorts. They were really neonish. I think he was rocking like a tank top, had like a little backwards hat.
Board shorts.
He provided some good entertainment for your boy because I was laughing. Come up, boy, we're getting low. I could have swore he's up there. Like, had I not known better, I might have thought you busted out a little Flo Rida apple bottom jeans boots with the fur. My boy got low. Then there was like this one dude Eddie was laughing at, and I witnessed this one dude, bro. He was definitely feeling good.
Oh yeah,
he had no shame in his game.
Gotta love that.
And he was definitely trying to get him somebody that night because he be talking with one. She leave, my boy talking to the next one, trying to dance with her.
We literally will get the craziest people that show up to Joyland on Friday nights. I love it all. It's great people watching. They got this guy that usually comes, and he's an older guy. He is a much older guy, but when he dances, it's like from his waist down stays still. And the rest of his body moves all around. It reminds me of that old robot back in the day that you had like the two controllers with the buttons and it would go up and down and his harem would go like that. And like his bottom half would stay put.
Almost like the noodle where like the top part moves, but the bottom part is kind of there.
Oh, I mean, we got two of those on stage.
I've seen that. Yeah. It's very theatrical. If you, and it's, I don't even want to put a time era on it. It's funk, upbeat music.
We do so much.
It's a wide range. There's definitely some newer stuff in there. There's some stuff from the 70s,
80s, 90s. There's an orgasm pounding in people's asses. You know,
it's very fun. Very there's a lot of lights going on, black light action. If you know, bro, I wouldn't be surprised if some people were in there microdosing on some shrooms.
Oh, they're totally, absolutely.
It's definitely that kind of vibe. The drinks were, the bartenders were good. They were very on point, if you will.
My boy Wes behind the bar, he was good.
Nobody had to really wait too long. I think there was like two or three people back there behind the bar, and they're cranking out drinks.
Wes, Jordan, and I forget the one girl's name. We actually imported her from the hip hop night.
Okay.
She wanted to come and work full time, so I guess I gave her a shot. I don't have to make those decisions. Thank goodness gracious.
Well, she made a pretty good drink, and she was doing pretty well from what I noticed. So compliments around my way from the whole entire bar staff that night.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but seeing how like Peggy, who's on Facebook watching us, she mentioned the word shrooms. And as of late, seems to be the latest craze of all the damn podcasts I've been listening to.
Well, because here's the thing. Since the marijuana stuff's been going on, I know you watch sports enough to know who Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah, I know that kid.
There's been talks over the last few off seasons. It's been believed that he's into like the
microdosing and shit. Yeah.
What they call those?
It's a functioning mushroom.
Yeah, but they've been doing scientific experiments. I mean, even since back in the 70s, they've been doing that with mushrooms and the medical properties behind it and stuff like that. So shrooms have really been on the forefront of a lot of conversations lately just because of
that. Makes all the sense. They're
saying the medicinal purposes of doing the microdosing and stuff like that. It helps a lot of things.
Yeah, that there's a guy I stumbled across on Spotify named Sean Ryan, and he does a show obviously called The Sean Ryan Show. And one of his guests this week, as a matter of fact, was a psychedelic therapist.
And
they be going through like some crazy shit.
I don't even like that word. I don't even like that word.
Why?
it's, I don't know. I just feel like there's a better definition for it.
I would totally participate in psychedelics if I was in the right environment and I was around somebody I trusted. Sure.
The only reason why I don't like the word psychedelics is because
you're not psychedelic.
I feel like it just puts people in a mind frame where like they feel like something can go wrong or they're going to hallucinate and see like some weird shit. And I'm not saying that it's never happened in the history of like acid or mushrooms or something like that. But when you're doing the microdosing, it's more of like a release of the endorphins in your brain, right, and putting you in that spot. And it really opens up like, as some of the hipsters would say, your third eye or whatever the situation may be.
I should piss in some of their third eyes.
But doing something like that at your show, I could see how it would be a really good time. Like if I was microdosing and probably took a couple of drinks, I'd probably be on the dance floor. I'm not a huge dancer. I've always been shy, but
it's not that I can't. It's just he carries a pistol in his pants. I get it. Eminem. Got
to do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back. Hey. Yeah.
That so on this episode of the Sean Ryan show, the guy said, look, you're only gonna have like when people speak about things like bad trips and shit like that, it's because one, they're not willing to let go. It's like people have become so entitled of wanting control that they refuse to just let go and just let it ride. Or you're seeing some stuff that you need to see, you need to process so you can move past it. And it's absolutely fascinating to me. Like I made a post because like they had talked about it. Cat Williams on the new Joe Rogan interview, which is
I have not watched yet.
It is different than anything anybody thinks it is. If you think you're gonna watch it and you're gonna hear a bunch of tea about Hollywood, you're not. I will spoiler alert right now, you're not gonna hear any of it.
Cool. I've always liked
Cat Williams. It's a very deep. You have to have intelligence in order to not only watch it, but to process it correctly. Because he says a lot without naming anything.
Okay.
He says a lot without saying a lot. But okay. It really makes...
It makes sense what you're saying, too. I like that.
Right. The man makes a weird, odd, solid case of God's existence, which I thought was very fascinating. I'm like, son of a bitch. But not all celebrities can be good. We get that. Cat Williams so far... Cat Williams is A-okay, but we're going to move on to somebody who's not so A-okay, and this will probably take up the majority of the show, to be honest with you. God damn it, Diddy. What the hell's the matter with you?
Listen.
Listen, Linda.
Linda, listen.
I'm pulling up the story as you're talking.
So the internet has no chill, and I'm just going to go out here, and I know you're going to delve into so much of the story, and it really, we all know it kind of started a couple months back.
Huh?
When Cassie made the lawsuit and Diddy was quick to pull the trigger and pay it, not even go to court about it and blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of opened up Pandora's box behind of a lot of things. But even yesterday, Smokey just shared this with me and I had a feeling we'd probably be talking about this topic. And I'm probably going to share it on my personal story. So if you guys aren't following me, make sure you follow me already. But it was showing this video clip. And I never even noticed this, but the internet is the internet, and they always win.
Always.
They showed the music video clip from Juicy, which is Notorious B.I.G., where they sampled the I forgot who sings the original song, but it's You Know Very Well Who You Are.
Mims
is who sings it. Okay.
Or, yeah, the Juicy Fruit.
Juicy Fruit, right? So.
Juicy.
There's this part where they pause it. Biggie Smalls is in like this hot tub or whatever, and you kind of see him looking down, and he has shades on, and you can't really necessarily see his eyes, but his eyes kind of notice something, and it's like, what the fuck? And the guys pointed out, it's like this dude in like a he/she looking thing. It was like a dude, but he had like a little like,
ooh,
like a skirt kind of thing on, and like a so shirt, rough, like almost like a. Kind of like a bikini top, but like, you know, where they like tie the little thing in the middle. And then there's like another dude next to him in like some probably 1990s equivalent of the Nike Pro, whatever, like the spandex things people be wearing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you kind of see Big kind of looking down like, what the fuck going on? And somebody had made the caption for the little video clip talking about this was Diddy's first party. And when I seen that, I'm like, God damn it. I thought that Floyd Mayweather was undefeated, but boy, the internet got his record beat.
What if I told you it ain't his first party?
It's probably not.
No, there was a video that came out 7 years ago that I stumbled across. And the only thing that made it bring it back to my mind is because I watched Ben Shapiro, and Ben Shapiro did a piece on it. And the title of the video is The 8 Bodies Caused by Diddy. And they go in how Diddy was this kid straight out of freaking college. And he was a part of a record label called Uptown Records.
Okay.
I forget the guy's name. It's Andre Harnell. And he got brought in by Clive Davis. So Diddy got snatched up by Harnell. Andre was sitting there doing sexual favors, allegedly, with Clive Davis, which is how he became half CEO owner of Uptown Records before the age of 22. You got Diddy being 24, and he owns Bad Boy Record, edging out Andre, getting in bed with Harnell, and everybody was talking about it because he got Jaguar Williams was an old person who worked at Uptown. She's doing interviews talking about the stuff that she saw. Andre's old assistant, Kim Porter, on record talking about walking into the office and seeing Diddy on his knees performing shit for Andre, allegedly. And it's been like the victim of all of these underage stuff like that has now become the perpetrator. And now you've got everything coming out in the open, and these are motherfuckers who've known stuff for years.
And I mean, we can go on and on about this whole situation. Orlando Brown, who a lot of people thought was batshit crazy,
one
point, like years ago, was talking about Diddy gave him the blah 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 or whatever, like, and everybody thought, you know, this Orlando Brown, he's shot the fuck out, like, he's just crazy. And come to find out, like, Orlando Brown might have been kicking some real shit this whole time, and we've just been not paying attention. And yeah, he probably is a little fucked up in the head for the shit that he went through. And I guess that's not necessarily Hollywood, but I guess might as well say Hollywood, like in the music game.
Right.
So, I mean, there's been some questionable videos that have come out with Meek Mill in it and everything else. So it's just
I was getting
there's this story is getting bigger and bigger and crazier by the minute. And
Meek Mill's replied to a tweet put out by everybody's favorite misogynistic person, Andrew Tate, when Andrew Tate tweeted, "So Diddy nailing Meat Mills, Usher, and Justin Bieber?" And Meat Mills replied, he didn't deny any of it. He just said, "Bro, you in trouble for trafficking women." Like, who gives a shit? What is this person doing? Justin Bieber was like 13 or 11 when he got picked up by Diddy, and he sent him to this little freaking, you can go on YouTube right now, do it America, and look up the interview that Usher did on Good Morning America or on one of like the mainstream media outlets, and there's talking about these grooming parties that Diddy sent Usher to. And when they said, "Would you ever send your children to a Diddy camp?" And he's like, "Oh, hell no." I'm like, everything's coming out in the open. And now Diddy's being slapped hard because there was a lot of scuttlebutt. There's a lot of nonsense. But on Monday, federal court has officially going after Diddy, a gentleman by the name of Lil Rob, who's accusing the music mogul of sexual harassment, drugging, and threatening him over more than years and years, going back all the way to 02. He was with him from 02 to 23. Among the allegations is that Combs forced Jones, who's Little Rob's name, Rodney Jones, to participate with sex workers, pressured him to engage in unwelcome sex acts, and then others would participate with Combs in said unsolicited sex acts, alcoholic beverages to people who attended the parties. The lawsuit include what it is that there's so many screenshots. Like, it doesn't give an exact number, but he's like, there are screenshots that you've got people willing to testify. Jones is seeking $30 million. My one problem with this, and everybody should be getting on board with this, I don't care if it's Diddy, if it's Trump, if it's Epstein, if it's Harvey Weinstein, can we stop normalizing people getting a payout for things that are crimes? You're basically saying you'd rather see them on the street and you get a payout than people actually go to jail for doing something wrong. That's what you're saying. When you take a payout for things like essay, sexual explicit content, rape, all of that stuff, you're letting people know it's okay so long as you get a payout.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What's one of the oldest professions in America? Prostitution.
Yep. Hookers.
And that's all you're making yourself end up being. And that I feel your problem with that, because I'm kind of the same way. Okay, well, why even bring it out and bring it up if all you're trying to do is basically become a glorified hooker? Because that's what you are when you're taking the payout, and basically, you know, you're not getting the payout and everything just goes away. You're getting that payout and you're signing an NDA.
Right. Yeah. No, that if it's me. And first off, y'all wouldn't be walking out of the room. Y'all try to take advantage of me. I'm just going to let you know that. No amount of money is going to make it right. No amount of money. Where's the fucking social justice warriors for this? Hmm? Where's everybody said, oh, no, we got to boycott P. Diddy?
Well,
no,
and you know what? That's the thing. That's the thing with the media right now, which really got me confused, is because I feel like Cosby, they was at his throat.
Yeah.
R. Kelly, they was at his throat. Ain't nobody really came out too much about Diddy. And if you really think it, like I'm a hip hop head. So if you really think about stuff from back in the days, right, and stuff that wasn't necessarily said that probably wanted to be said that didn't get said that way, is the, you know, you got the infamous Source Awards where you got Suge Knight going up there. If you tired of your CEO dancing in your music videos, whack ass clothes, la la la.
You got Cat Williams calling P. Diddy a pedophile.
Mace left Bad Boy out of nowhere. All of a sudden became Pastor Mace. Like certain things, like was Biggie kind of seeing all this stuff going on? I was like, you know what? I got to get away from this shit. But he was under contract, so he had to honor those albums. But there was a lot of speculation, and this is bringing the whole Tupac Biggie beef into it. There was a lot of speculation that around the timing of Tupac's death, because he was the first one to go, that there was allegedly talks behind the scenes of them forming together and squashing the beef and maybe possibly doing their own thing, or maybe even leaving with the Dr. Dre situation.
Right.
In the aftermath, you know, to start aftermath and all that, because sure, he was trying to get away with death row because of all the stuff going on with, you know, and let's be real. Tupac brought the thug life stuff out there, and he portrayed that because that was what he. But Tupac was very activist like as well.
Sure,
he did have that gangster persona, but it kind of makes you think like, well, damn, you know, the Lox were originally on Bad Boy before they left and went to the Rough Riders and stuff like that, and you know, you got Jadakiss and those guys, them some street dudes, and you know,
look what happened to people like Craig Mack. Craig Mack, bam, hit it.
Flavoring Year, and he and Craig Mack was pretty dope.
Him and who the hell was
he's basically one hit wonder now.
Shine. That motherfucker took a rap for Diddy. He's in prison now.
He's been out. He's been out for a while. But the lady who got shot that day has always proclaimed that it was Diddy was the shooter, and yeah, Shine took the rap, and she's been coming back out about that because it was basically saying what you were just talking about. Diddy paid everybody off to make that go away. And Shine's actually like some kind of like bigwig in Belize where he's from.
Good.
I want to say he's like a, like somebody like the political stuff.
Oh, okay.
He's big over there.
That's crazy because it's coming out more and more. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think you're going to see more and more people come out about nonsense. We've heard speculations for years.
Oh, and you just commented on here, and I'm going to throw that out there, the whole Jay-Z situation. That's a topic that he hasn't even brought up, because not only are they talking about Jay-Z with Rihanna.
I think Jay-Z will be next.
Guess who's Eskimo Brothers? Or possibly Eskimo Brothers with R. Kelly.
Jay-Z?
Your love is a one in a... There's speculation with him and Aaliyah.
Well, I mean, we already knew that that was suspect as shit. But it's... People.
I think Beyonce was over 18 when they got together. I could be wrong, Peggy Sue, but that's she was very young still, though. I mean, there's
and everybody knows that Kelly Rowland was the best.
But I'm going to be real with you, though. Let's just say he never did any of that stuff that he's been speculated upon.
Call me Kelly. Call me Kelly Rowland.
If Beyonce tried to holler at me and there was like a 15 year whatever age difference, Beyonce is fine though.
Beyonce not that fine to me.
Beyonce is fine.
Gabrielle Union's more fine to me than Beyonce.
Ooh, that's so crazy because I just watched Think Like a Man 2 yesterday. Gabrielle Union's a freak, by the way.
I know. That's why I want it.
And she is pretty hot. And Kelly Rowland, she got those lips. Oh, my God. And she got the Cater to You song.
Yeah.
Kelly Rowland's a bad bitch, too.
There is this whole underbelly that nobody ever really talks about, nobody really knows about. There are people, when Harvey Weinstein went down, he only took a couple people with him. Like a year earlier, you had Oprah up there with Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey.
Well, and this opens up the whole can of worms if you really want to talk.
We need that goddamn black book.
Yeah, if you want to talk about the whole, you know what I'm saying, with Jay-Z throws up the rock, or if you do it like that, it's the triangle with the all-seeing eye. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't even have to drop.
Yo, Cat Williams said no white person could be an Illuminati.
Really?
I was like, whoa! That's a new one.
I don't know about that.
I mean, my grandfather, and this is all I'll say about this, is my great-grandfather was an original Freemason here in America.
Is the J community considered white? Because I think they're part of the Naughty.
Maybe. There's been speculation for years, and we'll dive into this conspiracy theory. Every person of color that I've ever like had like a great relationship and have talked to have all said the same thing. The original people, the original Jewish people from Judea and Samaria. History lesson. Where's Gaza? Judea and Samaria. Where's Palestine? Judea and Samaria. Anyway, we're black.
Which makes them like Middle Eastern, kind of, it's like over in the area.
The original Jewish people were black. And that's always been the contention. And that's crazy because now you get these white ass honkies in here.
Well, I'm saying, you know, there's been the big argument about Jesus Christ really being, you know, white Jesus and all that stuff. And
white Jesus isn't
But even look where Israel is though. And
if Jesus looked like anything, he'd probably look Moroccan.
He'd look more like Middle Eastern brown
Moroccan.
Skin.
Yeah, from Morocco. Yeah,
he don't look like your boy. Blonde hair, blue eyes on the that be on them pictures in the big white church. He don't look like the dude that be on Joel Osteen's wall. Just gonna throw that out there.
And like that to me, that's crazy because it's like that's the insult everybody goes. Why Jesus wasn't white? Yeah, no shit. Everybody with a functioning prefrontal cortex knows that Jesus wasn't white. Everybody knows that. If you don't, you're a sample. You're a simple son of a bitch. Like most people can look that up. But it's crazy because, like, again, to quote Cat Williams, he said, everything that's happened is just a repeat of history. Everything always comes around full circle. You mean to tell me that these motherfuckers were the first ones?
Facts, Peggy Sue. Facts. She says, he ain't light-skinned and walking around in that desert sun.
Hell no, he ain't. Sure enough.
Oprah's a whole nother topic, and that.
But nobody will ever come out about Oprah.
You know why?
She's too protected.
You know why? Because you get a Bentley. You get a Bentley. You get everybody get a Bentley.
Oprah's too protected. Oprah's got not only wealth to defend her, but she's got clout to defend her.
She's got political power for sure.
Oh, she could totally have it if she wanted it.
Oh, she got it. Because I guarantee you. The reason why things are the way they are, and we're getting to like some conspiracy stuff that we normally don't even get to on this show, and you know
don't
what?
Cancel
I love it.
Don't cancel.
But everything makes sense. Sure. It's like everything we bitch about as a common folk, right? As common people. Oh, term limits, la da da da, blah blah blah. Why do we have people that are 800 years old that are still in the House and the Senate? Blah blah blah. Because this motherfucker got dirt on that motherfucker, and that motherfucker got dirt on this motherfucker. And you know what? If we get their ass out there, and one of them get pissed off, the bomb's gonna drop.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on. Like former House Majority Leader Mitch McConnell stepped down. Oh, Cocaine Mitch. He's out. So now somebody's got to fill a spot. Like, we don't have enough younger folks. I did a TikTok live about this, that we don't have enough younger people involved in politics to kind of take up the mantle. Like, we've got a couple, you know, freaking Matt Gaetz, for those of you who like him, or Byron Donalds. Byron Donalds is in his mid to late 40s. He's one of our legislators in Florida, you know, intelligent man. But we don't have a lot of people taking it on up. It's like, I would love nothing more than to see somebody who's not 80, who's not going to be 80 when they leave office, run for office. I mean, we had that with Vivek Ramaswamy. You know, we hadn't had that again since Clinton. Clinton was 32 when he got elected as senator of Arkansas. And then I think he was in his early 40s
when he was
elected president. I think, don't quote me, but I know for sure JFK was on record as one of the youngest people to ever be elected. JFK.
And it's crazy because
everybody
has dirt on everybody. You know, how much dirt does Diddy have on people? Is he going to go down by himself, or is he bringing the empire with him?
Oh, he'll try to flip just like he did in the Shine case.
I think it's only a matter of time. And, you know, does Shine say fuck it? Does he come out and speak the truth and delve in on all this? Because
it's
been speculated for years that a lot of people in the hip hop community and even fans were like, Shine didn't do it. Because he only got 10 years or something crazy like that. It wasn't like.
But still, he shouldn't have gotten any of it if he ain't the trigger man.
No, and I don't think he was. I'm telling you.
And this is the world that we're living in. You got people. It is a race to the bottom. That's all it is. It's not even a race to the top no more, people. It's a race to the bottom. And if you don't believe it, look at what's going on here in Florida. They now have to revisit, revise, and resubmit a bill in Florida that would ban social media for kids, churn, jits, under the age of 16 or 17. Insane. I'm very torn on this. I'm extremely torn on this because everybody who got kids, everybody, I know at least a handful of people, and I'm sure these parents do too, that have uttered the phrase, oh, hell no, my damn kid ain't getting on no goddamn social media. Every parent has said, every parent, if they haven't said it themselves, then they know five people. But I've said it.
Oh yeah, and here's the question. Why do they not want social media in school? I get the distraction part of it, but are you worried more about the distraction, or are you worried more about the exposure that might happen of things that people don't normally see that happens at schools, whether it be fights or this or that? Because, I mean, honestly, I think some of this stuff and cameras can save people. Because you see stuff all the time where, like, if somebody recording in a classroom and you got a student acting a fool and the teacher trying to put them in check and, you know, just be a normal adult and do their job, and the kid swings on the teacher.
It's a very, very interesting demographic because of the fact that, and I kind of co-sign them.
And it kind of negates the fact of, like, oh, well, don't nobody need to put their hand on my child. Well, guess what? If your fucking child puts their hand on me, not only will I whoop that motherfucker's ass, if you got a problem with it, I'll whoop your motherfucking ass. And that's how this shit should be.
But, and you're correct. And if I'm to take a middle of the road approach, there's a handful of people, and maybe it's people, you know, like Sarah and whatnot, you know, who's like, yeah, we don't like government telling us what to do. Fair point. I don't want political overreach. Shit like that is political overreach. But to play devil's advocate, If we cannot fix our own problems, if we can't raise our kids better to say, stay the hell off of it, teach your kids not to be freaking shitheads, because like it or not, when your kid's a dick and goes on social media and bullies somebody or picks on them or does whatever, whatnot, what have you, of any age, race, sexuality, whatever, and then they go and they retaliate in you on in the physical form, you can't cry wolf.
And I honestly feel like some of these parents should be held accountable for their kids' actions.
Yeah, what the fuck's up with that? Like, my dad whomped my ass when I was like 10 years old because I stole something from a toy store. And he said, do you realize if you do something that breaks the law, I get in trouble for it?
Yeah, and it's not
me. I get in trouble for it. Not you, me.
And I feel like a lot of times, like with some of the stuff that goes on, like the teachers or the, I guess, I don't even want to say teachers, I'll say the faculty, because not everybody that works at the school is necessarily a quote unquote teacher, because you have principals, stuff like that. But it's just like you have the faculty that's at risk. And it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? First of all, 15-year-olds, I mean, I was a big 15-year-old. But now, like, 15-year-olds are like what my size was back then. Like,
you're a big 45-year-old.
Pretty common. And I'm not 45. Jesus Christ. But, you know, like kids are a lot bigger than they were before.
They are.
And it's like, if I'm a teacher and some 15, 16-year-old kid starts throwing hands at me, am I supposed to just sit there and take it? When are we going to protect stuff like that?
We can't, though, because of the fact that all parents see is somebody bigger
but
picking on my kid.
But that's why I like the fact of there being social media or phones and stuff or cameras inside the classrooms, because then you get to see that, you know what? Maybe little fucking Johnny's a dick.
And that's what I fear is going to end up happening. They're going to...
Maybe your kid isn't as innocent as you thought they were. And you know what?
They're pressuring...
Maybe if he hit Mr. Henry, Mr. Henry deserves to hit his ass with a knuckle sandwich and DDT his ass. Because I guarantee you, back in my dad's days, those kids weren't getting feisty with the faculty because they knew you was going to get that ass whooped by the teacher.
Right.
You was going to get that ass whooped by the principal.
Sure.
Then mom, who was probably the stay-at-home mom, had to come pick you up. So there goes the ass whooping. But you know, in the process, dad done got called to work. So now he at work, and all the little fuck shit that dad done had to deal with at work gonna get taken out on your ass when he get home. Oh, you know what? Steve, keep slacking at work, because I'm about to go dig in my motherfucking son's ass because he got in trouble at school today. Because you know what? I'm taking it out on him. And you didn't have those problems back in the day.
You're right.
Now you take away discipline, and guess what? You got these kids fighting all the time, doing all kind of crazy stuff that didn't happen. I mean, and
you got to be fair, though.
We aren't super removed from our school days.
Right.
Like,
I mean, but we also have to be honest with ourselves. And do I think it's because there are no parents out there being parents? No. Do I feel that's the case in some? Sure. But I think you have some parents who have to work 5, 6, 7, 8 jobs. They got just enough money to be broke. And they don't have time to dump into their kids the correct way. So
it's a combination of everything. I mean,
the streets have to raise their damn kids, and the company that they choose to keep, which that's dangerous all in and of itself. You have to take a vested interest in your children. You truly, truly do. You have to monitor your child. I don't care. I'll say this fucking publicly. I monitor my damn child's cell phone. I've got Life 360 on my phone. I know everywhere she is. And with damn good reason. Because it's all fun and games until the one time that you can't track down your children. And you're like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you don't get a say-so in that.
Well,
if you want government to stay the fuck out of your family's life and stop telling you what you and your children can and can't do, start being a parent.
Well, that's part of the problem, though, because the government has told us what we can and can't do. So now, now those ass whoopings that we used to receive when we were kids are considered abuse.
Oh, yeah. They're
and they're DCF so and everything else wants to get involved for an ass whooping. Well, you know what? I'm going to be real with you.
DCF.
My dad whooped my ass. Did he go off on me a couple times, probably a little harder than maybe he should? Sure. But I probably drove him to that at the same time.
I mean, you probably deserved it.
I did deserve it. I'm going to admit it. I deserved it.
Right.
And
it's not easy to be a parent now.
You can't be a parent now.
There is no user guide. It really is trial and error.
It's like the sensitivity of everything. Like, oh, if you raise your voice too loud, well, you're being mean. You're being verbally abusive. You know what? I'm about to be physically abusive, and I'm about to hear I'm about to hit play. You're going to hear the broken glass, and I'm going to stone cold stun the shit out of your ass when that fucking music starts up.
The worst phrase, and maybe it's just me.
I
don't know if anybody else has ever had this. The scariest phrase to me on God's green creation when I was going to school from anybody in my family was, wait till your father finds out.
Oh, boo.
Your shit stunk into your fucking chest. Your feelings, you're like, oh shit, just went from bad to worse. It was already bad enough that the fact that, like, I was such a bad kid in school that my mother looked at me after I got suspended, like my freshman year. She looked at me dead square in the eyes with a tear in her eye and said, I have to send you to go live with your father. There's nothing more I can do for you.
Bam.
And I'm like, my life just ended.
I done fucked up now.
Yeah. And that was a whole other, deal.
I used to hate getting suspended from school. And all my suspensions were mostly because of fighting, just because.
Imagine that.
That happens. I'm really not as
violent. You're a Neanderthal. That's why.
No.
You who like to beat up people.
I don't start the fights. I just finish them. But the problem with it is,
that's that Slavic in you.
It is pops would come up, pick me up from school. All right, I got 3-day suspension. So not only do I get that ass whooped when I get home, I'm not gonna lie, I ain't gonna make my dad paint my dad out to be like some horrible guy.
Your dad is fucking pretty good.
Because if I didn't start the fight and it was a self-defense situation,
your dad's good
people. I wouldn't get no ass with
I like your dad. Your dad's good
now people. Because I'm suspended from school for 3 days, it's gonna be some bullshit I gotta do every single day.
Yeah.
Around the house.
Just because you out of school.
Just because you out of school, that's my punishment. That was the worst part, because there was always some bullshit, like the shit that has went a little bit too long because maybe went fishing on the weekends or pops didn't feel like getting around to it. So guess who's got a weed? The motherfucking garden. This guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, motherfucker, why do I have to do that?
Yeah.
I almost feel like he would just wait. Like, you know what? The garden needs to be, you know, the weeds need to get picked out of the garden. But you know what? I know that one of these kids is going to fuck up. There was one time I forgot what we did. It was me and my boy Caddy Dave. We did something. We got in trouble. And I think it was over at like his grandma's house or one of his aunt's house or something. Something we did. We got in trouble for something. They told my dad. Pop said, don't even worry about it. Send him on over. Pops had us weed eating the whole freaking, like, my hand pulling weeds out of everywhere, the flower beds and all kind of stuff. And Eddie's on here. Eddie O'Cosign. Pops didn't play. Pops would punish all the kids equally. Like, he
attaboy.
He didn't discriminate or nothing like that. Possibly one of the first guys out there in the football field being all-time quarterback for us. But, hey, if we fucked up and he caught us fucked up and you fucked up over at my house and you was my friend, hey, we might have to do some manual labor around this bitch.
And that's the power dynamic. Look, I understand that guys don't stick around like they should. I also understand it's very popular to go and trash baby daddies.
Apparently.
If a baby daddy,
unless you're a rich
or
baby daddy,
a father tries to make an attempt and you shut him down 50 times, you're giving him the message that he's not wanted.
Facts.
And you can't get mad when he stops showing up. If every time he just wants to spend time with his child, your feelings are hurt because you got cheated on or you got left. I understand that it's bad, but you can't take it out on the fucking kids, because kids need their father.
They
need their mother. They need parents. Co-parenting.
They need male figures in their life, because as a
they
female,
need good male figures.
As a female, you can't control us the way that a male could if you're raising sons. And with that being said, you know, as I'm thinking back upon it, you know what? If I don't have any kids, but if I did have a son, and you fucked up at your friend's house, you know what? Mr. Johnson needs you to come over and help your friend, and y'all gotta be you know, cutting some tree branches down and doing some lawn work because y'all fucked up. Hey, what time you need him there, Mr. Johnson? Mm. Because I think that ultimately made me a better person in the long run. I hated it then. And it was all, man, fuck my dad, he's so mean, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, in hindsight now,
I had a friend in elementary school named Ty Lib, and we both went to Southside. And I would go over to his house.
Quali?
Huh?
Quali?
No.
Oh, not to Lib Quali? My bad.
Nah, Pruitt.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And, like, his mom was a hardworking fucking woman. She worked two jobs. Like, he had older siblings that were around and relatives and shit. Like, and she was a hard nose. She didn't put up with shit. Like, and we had to be very careful as to what we did. It was a different dynamic when she did his number. I gotta tell you, Dad. Like, you better tell your boy. You better tell your friend. Your friend's gotta go. Because I got to call your dad. And I remember the look, because I used to get it myself. The absolute fear in that man's face is one that I know all too often. And I'm like, oh no. There's just something about it. I can't put my finger on it. Now, please keep in mind that we're not advocating for the freaking dads that are beating the shit out of their kids.
No.
Or sitting there freaking, you know, trying to get forceful and get all nasty and inappropriate with them. We're not talking about those dads. We're talking about the good fucking dads.
That are plenty. And
that are working 50 hours a week and all they want to do is come home. And then they got some little snot-nosed little bastard being a little shithead that they got to bust their ass.
And I'm going to say, on the baby daddy spectrum, when it comes to and girls bad mouthing their baby daddies, I'm going to say probably 70% of them are full of shit and they're just being spiteful women. They're probably 20-30% of those guys that are probably really piece of shit that don't need to be around their kids in the first place.
Right.
But there probably are a lot of more good fathers out there than
I think they're
allowed to be, and unfortunately, sometimes there's a come until later when, you know, when it's a little bit too late.
Now, I agree with that 100%. You know, I mean, I think the world is going to get better as the days go on. It just is going to take some time. I understand the hurt, because nobody likes to be taken advantage of. Nobody likes to let their guard down just to have somebody backhand it and beat it into a bloody pulp and really take advantage. And if you're a woman who's had that happen, I'm sorry. I don't know the man. I don't care. I don't care to know the man. But that's fucked up, and I'm sorry. If you are a male and that has happened too, it is not without blame. My bad. Sorry that happened. That shit hurts, and it hurts like hell. And you can't underplay and you can't undervalue that. And people shouldn't undervalue that. It's crazy.
No, there's definitely a line between discipline and abuse.
Oh, of course.
At some point, that line got clouded, and everything that seems like
that part.
The raise of a voice or yelling or spanking your child for something that they probably should get a spanking for all has become abuse.
Oh, absolutely. And
it's almost like the world has gotten so sensitive. And I think you're kind of seeing it, like people are kind of like trying to take it back. Like, no, we're not being sensitive. No, not today. Not today, Satan. Like, no, not today. This is not going to offend us because this is bullshit. Like, you guys are just trying to make a mountain out of a fucking molehill. Stop it. And things are what they are. Now, there are serious things in this world where, like, some of the stuff that's being alleged about Diddy, bringing that back into the thing. Like, yes, there are some things that have happened on Epstein Island allegedly and things like that that we will never support here.
And we'll never probably know all the details either.
That's facts, too.
Keep that.
But at the end of the day, parents need to be able to parent and discipline. And I'm not really for this bill. I understand some of it, but you know what? instead of worrying about the kids on social media, how about we worry about our fucking education system as a whole and all the bullshit? Like, you don't want the kids on social media? Well, guess what? Give them something that's going to fucking get their damn brains working instead of this bullshit stuff so you guys can get your fucking checks and you guys can get your bonuses. Sure. Oh, we need to teach you how to pass this test. How about let's teach them about mortgages? Yep. How about let's teach them about reverse mortgages so they don't get their head slapped by some, you know, person way down the road when they buy a house and they don't know nothing about this.
Uh-huh.
Let's teach somebody how to do their taxes so they can go online and do it for free instead of paying some motherfucker $200 to do it for H&R Block.
Right. No, I agree with you 100%.
Let's teach them how to balance a checkbook, even though they kind of do it online now anyways through your
balance
app.
Balance the checkbook.
Let's teach them how to work the stock market.
I don't know how to work the damn stock
market. Let's teach them how to start up a business that you don't necessarily have to go to college and put yourself in $100,000 worth of debt from school or $60,000 in debt for school when you can go to a trade school for free through high school and become a plumber or an electrician and make $50, $60 an hour with your own business.
College used to mean something 30 years ago.
You know
now
what?
Everybody
That's going. Because the blue collar guys will make a comeback and we can maybe stimulate the economy. Oh, Jesus. High C 2024. Vote for your boy.
Shout out to the plumbers, electricians, all that stuff, manual labor.
All that stuff we need, man. And it's just like, you know, this system's designed, like there's been a system designed to keep us down. We need some critical thinkers in the political game. And people in charge.
It should be no surprise to anybody why electricians are making upwards of $30 to $35 an hour. Should not be a surprise to anyone.
And that's the cheaper ones.
When people talk about the jobs that, you know, that Americans don't want to do, that's one of them.
We ain't even talking about the linemen, the ones that come when hurricane such and such comes through and tears down your stuff. They're running the power lines and all them dudes getting buku bread.
Right. And
they getting FEMA money.
And we can go on for hours, you know, about, you know, things like the immigration policy and how the wink, wink, nod, nod, how everybody wins in the immigration game, but nobody talks about it.
Listen, I was watching an old clip with Ralphie May the other day.
Oh,
God bless the dead. And he was talking about his interaction with some lady and she was complaining about the borders and Mexicans and how they're stealing jobs. She's like, oh, we can get white people to do it, blah, blah, blah. Like, what white person you know is going to go out in the field and do that hard manual because your son ain't going to go do it because he wasn't taught to raise to work hard.
Boy, yeah. And Cat Williams was talking about that, too. He said, hey, the immigration thing only seems like a problem to people like you and me. He's like, every corporation is winning. All the politicians are winning because these aren't idiots. I'm sure maybe one or, you know, a couple are, you know, same with drug dealers, but a lot of them are skilled laborers.
All your fruit and vegetables that you eat on a daily, I don't give a damn.
I'm not even talking about that. I guarantee you've got some mechanics. You've got some motherfucking machine workers. You've got people who are skilled trade workers, and they're getting pennies on the dollar
compared to what they're worth.
Because people like you and me demand that corporations give us X amount of dollars an hour. You want to know why the immigration thing hasn't come down to a dwindling halt? It's because Americans are fucking entitled. And they said, nah, we're just going to let this. We're going to let this family come in. Because that boy right there, he can turn a fucking wrench better than the cocky prick who just graduated from vocational school. And I can pay him less.
And he's going to be there every day.
Everybody winning. Everybody
when
winning.
He talks shit about me, I don't understand it because I don't speak that shit.
Yeah.
Hey, until you make that. Until you make that paycheck wrong, then that English come out real well.
Yeah. And people don't want to look at this on a deeper level. Minimum wage got to go up. Yeah, right. So long as immigration's coming, That minimum wage ain't going up.
But let's be real. Most, if there is somebody over here that's illegal, they're not getting the jobs that we're striving for anyways.
Yeah, no, that they're getting.
A lot of them are dishwashers at like some mom and pop level. Space. Yeah. They're just you're going to show up every day, $15 an hour sound cool to you? Cool. All right, bet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going out. Listen, I know where the farms are located. They're about 30, 40 minutes from where we're at right now. I can drive you right by there if we go out State Road 70. Del Monte, all that stuff got farms out there.
Del Monte.
DeMar, all that stuff. It's boxes that I've seen in restaurants that I've worked in. All those farms are right out over. I remember seeing this box when I worked at such and such restaurant. Oh, this is where they come from. And guess what? Every last one of the fruits and vegetables was touched by Mexicans or somebody from, you know, South America or something. Exactly. And guess what? I ain't going out there and doing their job. And if they want to come over here and do it, more power to you. Do what you got to do to beat the system. And at the end of the day, they paying taxes and doing stuff too. So I don't give a damn.
Right.
You doing a bunch of stuff that I don't want to work.
That's an entire different conversation that people ain't ready for. You get some people that might be, but this isn't a point to finger at a politician type discussion. No. This is a deeper, this is a rooted issue that it takes an intelligent human being to fully comprehend.
Listen, this is an issue of the United States is a motor, and you need a well-oiled motor for it to work properly. And guess what? Some of these illegal motherfuckers that are coming over here doing the bullshit we don't want to do are part of the oil that's making this motherfucker run.
That's it. And on that note, you got any final shout outs?
I do not have any. Actually, yeah, you know, shout out to just all our listeners, all our fans out there.
Yes, sir.
I know we've been kind of sporadic the last few weeks, but we're going to dial that in and get everything tightened up. And
don't forget,
Suncoast on Point.
Yeah, starts next week. Super Tuesdays this Tuesday.
Nice.
Yep. So we'll have the entire breakdown for you. I'm going to explain to everybody how Donald Trump is closer to Bill Clinton than you think, and how he's very different than President Biden.
Okay. I'm interested in that. With the political battle coming up, this is a big election year. I feel like we said that every election, but
right, yeah,
exactly, it usually seems exactly. By the time it comes around,
we
need some help. So with that being said, from my boy Johnny Christ, I'm your boy High C. This has been Just Another Convo. Peace out.